Dark Air with Terry Carnation. Episode 2, Crossed Wires.
Once again, you are listening to Dark Air, the Terry Carnation story with Terry Carnation, the audiobook. Not to be confused with Dark Air with Terry Carnation, the nightly AM radio show, or Dark Air by Terry Carnation, the carbon monoxide detector, which is a product not yet on the market, but very much in production in my mind. Chapter 2, Crossed Wires, question mark? So, just who was on the other end of that eerie phone call I received on the air? Was it my dead wife, reaching across the seemingly impenetrable line that separates the living from the dead, like some Twilight Zone character? Full disclosure, the only episode of The Twilight Zone which I remember is the episode with the surgeon and the Korean woman on the back of the bus riding through the war, and the surgeon repeatedly tells her to quiet her chicken. And her chicken is, in fact, a baby. Heart-wrenching. Also, the episode with William Shatner on the airplane and the creature riding on the wing. Anyway, perhaps it was not my wife who called, but some cruel, childish prank meant to unnerve me, Terry Carnation, on my first day back in the proverbial radio saddle. In either case, in my heart of hearts, I missed my dear wife, my Ceylon, and I had the feeling that perhaps getting to the truth of this matter would somehow bring her back to me, if only for a moment. However, I had to wait to find out the true meaning of the plaintiff call, as I had my weekly court-suggested therapy session with Dr. Norman Kesden. And I had a little boasting to do.
So, Terry, I'm glad to hear that your return to your radio show was a success. But I'd like some more specifics. Just how'd it go?
You didn't listen?
Well, I go to bed pretty early. You know, golf.
Ah, the sport of intolerant fat vulgarians. Well, it went perfectly. Thank you for asking.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, really.
Really, really, really? Really, really, really? Why don't I stop paying you and just get a tape recorder with the word really on repeat and have a session with that tape recorder?
Frankly, Terry, that's more golf time for me.
Well done. I see what you did there. Your incredulousness is stupefying. Yes, the show has been going swimmingly. Why would you think otherwise?
It was not so long ago that you were...
a raving lunatic in a nut house. Yes, we both know the narrative.
I wouldn't put it like that. I'd say you were a traveler on life's great highway who took a brief detour into Straightjacketville.
Straightjacketville. I could have you disbarred.
You're right. That was inappropriate. That was inappropriate.
The show was an unqualified success, and I, its host, a brilliant steward.
I am glad to hear it.
Well, you don't sound glad.
Well, how do I sound?
I don't know exactly, but not glad. Unglad.
What is there to be unglad about?
You're so doubtful all the time. You're like Eeyore with a PhD.
Terry, is there a reason for me to be doubtful?
No!
Is there perhaps some reason that I don't take your word for it, that it's just all spectacular and fine?
No, it's not like there's anything inexplicable that happened that's been haunting me ever since. And I'm well aware how dubious that sounds, and I do not wish to expound upon it any further.
Fair enough. This is your session. How are things outside of work?
Excellent. Yes, fine. Yes, everything's good. Tip top. Not so great. I could use a new refrigerator. Mine appears to have broken.
What do you mean appears?
The food is decidedly warmer. Your mini fridge is quite nice, I see.
Thank you, I think.
How much do you think something like that weighs? Like 85, 120? One-man job? Or say, two relatively fit teenagers?
I'm glad this is coming up, Terry. You know, I noticed after last week's session that my clock was missing.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's a real clock, Terry. A rather expensive antique gold desk clock with an ornate ballerina on top. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
What are you suggesting?
Well, a clock doesn't just get up and leave.
Well, they say time flies. Perhaps it flew away over your mini fridge and out the window.
Yes. Or perhaps someone took it.
You know, I don't want to cast aspersions, but that scraggly lady who comes in before me, she seems unbalanced, and I wouldn't put petty theft past her.
In California, petty theft describes the theft of property valued at less than $950. This particular clock is worth triple that.
Triple? Nine? That's $8,000.
Well, I very much doubt that the pathetic psychopath who comes in before me knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Triple? It's the price of a car. Anyway, the show went great.
After getting the third degree from Dr. Kesden, I was back on track. Jeet, as my confidant and chauffeur, took me to the radio station in the dead of night, the only hour when there are no live hosts, just an hour-long infomercial detailing the finer points of timeshare scams and how big an idiot you are for having fallen for one. Never should have fallen for that. Never use it. Who vacations in Honduras? Anyway, we were there to listen to the recording of my show and determine whether it was indeed the voice of Zilon reaching out from beyond the grave to contact her beloved, moi.
Hey, be careful. Why can't we turn the lights on?
Aren't your night vision glasses working?
Not really. Are these toys?
Sure. If you call the Mission Impossible Rogue Nation Surveillance Collector's Set a toy, then yes, toy. Jeet, we have got to take this seriously. We don't know who's involved in this mysterious call.
Wait, you think it could be someone at the radio station?
At the radio station, at the disturbingly dogless dog park, in the government, who knows?
My God, you're right. It could be anyone.
Or everyone.
Or no one. Or a dog, Derry.
That's unlikely.
Gentlemen!
What the? Oh, Derry!
Veronica, what are you doing here? This is supposed to be the timeshare time shame hour.
It is, but my deceased goldfish, Hieronymus, reached out to me from beyond the grave and commanded me to be here. And by the way, when I say grave, I mean the toilet Hieronymus was flushed down.
Well, regardless, that's a lot of pet psychicry.
Indeed. This must be a full moon because I've had quite a few angry dog callers. And I don't mean dog collars, like you wear around your neck, but callers who are dogs. You can see how confusing it all is.
Well, not to be contradictory, but today is a first quarter moon, actually.
My goddess, but you are wise, Derry. As wise as you are pleasing to the eye. What are you doing here? Just came to woo your favorite pet psychic?
Well, that would hardly make sense, as I just now discovered you were here. But, yes! Yes, so, Veronica, let us you and I go to your studio and commence with the flirting.
Take me.
Just keep going, Veronica. I'm right behind you.
Okay, I'm going to use my masculine wiles to distract her while you find the microfiche.
Derry, the show's recorded and saved on a file on the computer. Oh, is this because you started doing radio in Soviet-occupied East Germany in the 60s?
If my recovered memories of time travel are to be trusted... Yes.
Wow.
Terry, we're so spiritually in tune with one another. I can only assume this ethereal connection would also extend to the physical plane.
Well, yes. Okay. I guess. Sure.
Well, have we been on the air the whole time? Uh-oh. Terry, looks like some puppies out there are now in on our puppy love.
Fantastic.
And if you have any lovesick lizards, heartbroken hamsters, or infatuated Irish setters that could use a good mind reading, give us a call. Harry Otter and owner, you're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. Harry and I are your biggest fans.
I know.
Harry seems to be off lately. Can you tell me what's going on with him?
You're in luck, Harry. As we have our special guest, Terry Carnation, with us in studio, and his intense vibrations will enhance my already formidable gifts. Take my hand, Terry.
No, thank you. I'm not trained.
Oh, Terry, you scamp. Take my hand.
Okay, all right.
Harry! Oh, my goddess, yes. The otter is speaking through you. What are you saying, Harry? What are you... Yes, you want to return to the sea.
Yes, you have unfinished business in the sea. Do you agree, Terry?
Well, he is an otter.
Terry, could you come back in here?
Coming.
Terry, why must you flee? We need to be an example of healthy love to these animals in need.
And you know, and all the listeners know, that that is indeed my primary mission in life. But Ajit, my engineer, is calling me, and I'll be right back.
I'll keep the seat warm for you.
That's okay. I like my seats cold.
We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Dark Air listeners, let's get healthy for a moment, shall we? Now, we talk about a lot of conspiracies on this show, but none worse than the food pyramid. What a load of bullcrap that was. That was not a healthy way to eat. But how do you know what is? Well, go to Noom.com. That's Noom.com/dark. With Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, and Noom personalizes a weight loss program to help your aspirations become reality. My therapist, Dr. Norman Kesden, greatly approves of Noom's cognitive behavioral therapy approach. It means you're not just losing weight, you're building habits you need to keep it off. There is a science to getting healthier, and it's called Noom. So sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/dark. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today. That's Noom, Noom.com/dark.
Did you find it?
Yeah, here it is. Monday's episode, 2 hours, 52 minutes in.
Caller, you're on the air. The Dark Air. It's a prank. It's a prank. Not the first prank call we've ever heard on the show. Let's go to an advertisement.
Wait, where was it?
I don't know.
Why didn't you play the right part?
I did.
You didn't?
I did, but it wasn't there.
How could you have both played it and it not be there?
I think someone erased it.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
God, you keep doing that.
Consistency is the cornerstone of a good relationship.
You're in a relationship?
Well, no.
Full-blown.
That's kind of complicated. Don't you have a radio show to run or something?
Yes, but right now one of my regulars is on, Princess Petunia. Her vibes are so strong I can read her thoughts from her room away.
What is she thinking?
Well, right now she's wondering just what Veronica's handsome suitor and his strange friend are doing.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
We are going through the files of your show, Veronica, and we're picking the best calls as a surprise for you.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Oh, I love it.
Actually, it worked. Oh, yes, sure is. Yes, it's delightful, really, but we've got to go now, so make sure to close everything out, Jeet. You know, press stop on the tape player and save the files and back up the hard drives and let's skedaddle.
Right. Yep. Okay. Doing it.
Good. Okay. Well, later, Gator.
Terry called me Gator.
As I'm sure you will be relieved to learn, dear listener, I escaped the pet psychic's talons with nary a scratch. Although she did bite my ear. Broke the skin, actually. I had it looked at, and shockingly, I did not contract rabies. In any case, Jeet and I were hungry. Hungry for the truth about my wife. The call. What could it mean? But we were also hungry for food. And since all of my food was warm and decayed, we headed to Jeet's apartment, which he shares with his parents and sister, who were all, how should I put it, up in my grill?
Maybe we should have gone someplace else. It's 3:30 in the morning. Won't we wake your family?
Oh, Terry, that should not be an issue.
Ah, Terry Carnation in our house. Welcome, welcome. I am Jeet's father, Chaitanya, but you can call me Chet.
Okay, Chet.
Dad, Terry and I have some really important...
Yes, don't be rude, Jeet. We must all meet your boss and, as you say, your personal idol.
Dad!
What? The idol is here? Chris, make some chai for Jeet's idol. God, Mom, he's Jeet's idol, not mine. Make him make the chai for his idol.
I didn't say Terry was my idol. Okay, maybe I did, but that was before I met him.
Gee, thanks, Jeet.
I just meant that now, you know, we're more friends than
than idol and fan.
Sure we are. We're best buddies. Okay, can we get down to business?
Ooh, business? Will you be spotting UFOs?
Or perhaps naming UFOs you have already spotted?
Not exactly.
Chris, the chai.
Oh, could I have mine iced?
One iced chai coming up for the idol.
I'm sorry about my family.
As long as they keep offering me food and drink, no need to apologize.
Gee, ask Terry if he'll be joining us for breakfast.
Sure, I'll take some eggs.
Mom, we're here to work.
Potatoes on the side?
Excellent.
So, not only do we have the mystery of my dead wife potentially calling from beyond her grave, but the added riddle of what happened to the phone call.
Okay, first things first. I'm sure if we reach out on social media, we can find someone who recorded the show.
I don't trust social media. It's filled with lunatics and perverts.
Yes, no, undoubtedly. But maybe one of those lunatics or perverts might have made a copy on their lunatic or perverted laptop. And perhaps there's a particular segment that that lunatic or pervert listens to over and over while doing, you know, lunatic and perverted things.
Ugh, no need to speculate. But fine, we'll turn to social media. Ugh.
Good. I actually already set up a Twitter account for the show. All right, let me just type this in. If anyone recorded Monday's Dark Air, please DM.
Dungeon Master?
Direct message. Although I would presume that many of your listeners are also Dungeon Masters. I am. Oh, cool. We already have two responses. All right. Okay, Ellen is Satan in Florida, has it, but says we have to go there in person. Oh, same with Witchy Woman in Alaska.
Terry, how do you like your eggs?
Plentiful.
I love it.
Look, I don't have the money, time to travel all around the states, contiguous or no. We need to find someone local who has the recording.
Okay, so we'll make a plea on the show tonight.
Yes, but we can't sound desperate. We don't want the saboteur to know that we need the recording. I mean, it needs to be business as usual.
Oh, Ellen is Satan is asking for pics.
I had one simple thing on my mind as I went into that night's Dark Air with Terry Carnation. Dark Air's Terry Carnation must obtain the recording of the first episode of Dark Air with Terry Carnation. Or rather, I had two things on my mind, as I was, once again, famished, and let's just say the contents of my refrigerator weren't getting any less moldy.
All right, 10 seconds to air.
Hey, cheat, did you bring any of your mom's food?
I did, for myself.
Ugh, I see how it is.
And now, from the unexplored depths of the Marianas Trench to the unexplained reaches of space, time, and mind, you're listening to Dark Air with Terry Carnation.
Good evening, fellow travelers. You're listening to Dark Air with Terry Carnation, and I am, you guessed it, Terry Carnation. And frankly, I'm basking in the glow of my first episode back, and basking in the warmth of my soft, durable MeUndies. MeUndies. There's no proof they ward off demonic possession, but there's also no proof that they don't. Oh, they're hugging my nether regions like an ectoplasm. Perhaps a living ectoplasm, which is taking over my body as I speak, because that's how good I feel, from top to bottom. Bottom. He said bottom. Go to MeUndies.com/dark and get 15% off and free shipping on your first order. And as part of their problem-free philosophy, if you're not satisfied for any reason, just return the MeUndies, no questions asked, like I triumphantly returned to the airwaves. See what I did there? And speaking of my first episode back, it's no big deal or anything, but if you should happen to have a clear recording of said episode, please do call the station. We sure are eager, in a casual way, to obtain it, as our copy was corrupted. So, let's go right to the phones, shall we? Caller, you're on the air. This is Dark Air.
Terry, is this really you?
It's really me, my friend. It's really me.
Oh, Terry, man, this is, I can't believe I've been a lifelong listener. What do they say in the game?
Yes.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah, That's right.
My name is Brian McNabb, man. I'm going to tell you right now, I am a big Bigfoot enthusiast, as most people are in the world. I was born in 1970, so I spent most of the 70s of my childhood obsessed with the Bigfoot film that we're all very familiar with, where he lurches and then looks at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the big question that I try to bring up with people, and people aren't seem to be interested in it because a lot of people like to suppress this sort of thing.
But okay.
Why do you think Bigfoot is only hanging out in the forests of Washington State? What's he got against city life? How come he don't want to hang out with us? Like, I go to this bear bar in mm-hmm. town, man, mm-hmm. and it's full of the hottest twinks you could possibly imagine.
Okay.
If Bigfoot would just join us, he would be so taken care of. He'd be loved, he'd be looked up to, and yes, by some, sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his fear keeps him in the woods.
Yeah.
He's closeted in the forests of Washington State, when really he could be living out loud like the rest of us, Terry.
Yes, and what are...
Down here in the city.
And what are these twinks that you referred to? What is...
Those, there's a group of us. It's national, probably international. I've not been out of the States. But we appreciate large, hairy men. So as you might imagine, Bigfoot, that's our white whale, for heaven's sake.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, this is the king of the bears,
you know,
shy of being an actual bear. That would be the king of the bears. But this is the king of bears that twinks could possibly engage with.
Yes.
Like, why would you hang out amongst trees when you can hang out amongst a bunch of guys who think you're it?
But, you know, there are rumors that Bigfoot and other forest creatures have their own kind of sexually promiscuous clubs of all colors out in the forest. Perhaps you should search for those. That might be, in fact, that might be an interesting show instead of the search for Bigfoot. The search for, wait, what's happening right now?
Say more stuff about the woods.
Right. Woods. Bigfoot. Harry. He's tall. He's 7 foot tall. Giant feet. He's...
Say it. Just say my name.
Okay. This is I feel so soiled right now. Brian, I'm not going to thank you for your call. That is all. Thanks for tuning in, folks. You know, Late Night AM Radio is very much like an ongoing audiobook. And that's why I want to talk to you about Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment all in one place, the largest selection of audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs. And as an Audible member, you will get one credit every month, good for the entire premium selection. You just visit audible.com/darkair or text darkair to 500-500, and new members get to try Audible for 30 days on us. Well, what am I listening to on Audible? Well, a titillating romance by Cressley Cold called The Warlord Wants Forever. Oh, it's fantastic. It's about an intense relationship between Nikolai, the vampire warlord, and Mist, the coveted, a Valkyrie, and the Roth's sworn enemy. It is delicious. So join audible.com/darkair, or text darkair to 500-500. These audio titles will then be yours to keep forever in your Audible library. The Warlord Does Want Forever. Our next listener has a question about the Chupacabra. You're on. What's your name?
My name is Lindsay von Schultzel, and I'm calling because I, well, first of all...
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from, Lindsay?
My home.
No, what city, what town are you calling from?
Oh, Greenbelt.
I'm sorry, where?
Greenbelt.
That geographical name makes no sense.
It's a Viking name. Terry, the important thing is my call.
Yes, please.
I'm wondering, Terry, if a chupacabra liked another chupacabra, how would the first chupacabra feel if her feelings weren't returned, especially if the second chupacabra was giving her mixed signals even though they worked at the same radio station?
Excellent question. Chupacabra. The mythology of the chupacabra derives from Latin origins, of course, Mexico, Central America, Puerto Rico. So how might the cultural standards of dating and interacting from those Latin cultures intersect with the mating rituals of the chupacabra?
So do you think the first chupacabra would like it if the second chupacabra wore makeup, and perhaps the first chupacabra would open the door for the second chupacabra, say if they were going to go to Chipotle together?
Well, again, this has to do with the cultural relevance of the Latin cultures on the mating habits of the chupacabra. So certainly that would involve the holding open of doors.
I agree.
And perhaps the chupacabras, when coming together in a union of passionate sexual sexual embrace, in order to produce another chupacabra.
Oh, Terry!
And let's presuppose that when they do conjoin, assuming the chupacabra has a penis, that the one...
Oh, my goddess.
Wait, I'm sorry, did you just say, oh, my goddess?
No, what? No, I'm sorry, there's a Jehovah's Witness at the door. Thank you so much for your answer. Goodbye.
Huh. It seems... What a strange person. Let's go back to the lines.
Take a deep breath. You're in Dark Air with Terry Carnation.
Next up, we've got Joe Ballard.
Oh, thank you, Terry. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about something. Have you heard that podcast about the Scorpions possibly being CIA agents? Have you heard that podcast, Terry?
Podcast? No, I'm not 23, okay? I don't listen to podcasts.
Well, if I may, they're fantastic. You can get a lot of information. This Scorpions one is a good example of that. I had no idea that these guys were going around the world being agents for the United States of America to try to get countries.
Wait, are you speaking about actual Scorpions?
No, I'm talking about the band Scorpions.
Okay. What's your question or what's your point, Mr. Ballard?
The fact that you haven't heard about this concerns me because there is, from what I understand, a lot of musicians were doing this, certainly back in the 60s and the 70s. And one in particular that I'm aware of is that band Chicago.
Hmm.
There's seven guys in that band, so you know that a bunch of them are up to no good when the other guys are up on stage and the horn section goes off stage for a little while. I think they're back there doing some business, and I think it's time that somebody talks about it. You don't seem to be wanting to talk about these rock and roll bands that are trying to be in cahoots with the government.
Wait, you're saying that the horn section from the band Chicago, when they were not playing on stage, were backstage in cahoots with the government doing something nefarious?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Do you remember in the 80s when Chicago went into that kind of soft rock era where they weren't using the horns anymore?
That's right.
Well, the horns got a little, they were a little restless. They had a lot of time on their hands while they're doing those You're the Inspiration and Hard to Say I'm Sorry. Well, the bands out there were doing those songs. The horns got nothing to do. So the trombone, the trumpet, and the saxophone, they would go off stage, and they would be doing some wheeling and dealing to try to get Russian spies into the country.
Well, could they be in the green room eating saltines, or?
Well, I think if they're in the green room, all they're doing is loading up their guns, because I think they're going to go out and murder. I think they're assassins. I think they're trained assassins. You ever see the precision of a horn player? That's precise. You got to get the precision of that trombone going in and out. That's precision. That guy can be up on some sort of a grassy knoll taking somebody out from 200-300 yards.
Do you believe that there are other horn sections that were also trained assassins?
Absolutely. Herb Alpert, he started A&M Records, and I'll be goddamned if he couldn't hit the side of a barn with a bullet. And there's no question James Brown had his brass section was out there. They're all assassins, Terry, and you're blind to it. Let me ask you something, Terry. You remember 9/11?
Yes, I do. I remember it very well.
Right. Never forget, right? Well, everybody likes to blame those planes. Well, I got news for you. It was actually a marching band brass line. No doubt about it. Left over from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ballard. We've seen the video of airplanes flying into the World Trade Centers.
Right, to distract it from the brass line. The airplane's up high. Everybody's looking up at the sky at the airplane, hitting the building. Down low, you got a brass line going right into the building. That knocks that thing down. And this is something that nobody likes to talk about. The night before in Jersey City, you're never going to guess who was playing there, Tower of Power. You've never heard horns like the Tower of Power going down a New York street right into a building. That's power into a tower.
Well, this is fascinating. Joe Ballard, thank you so much for your call. And
Earth, wind, and ready, aim, fire. How's that grab you, Carnation?
With that, we'll go to a commercial break.
Joe Ballard, peace out.
Oh, the horror. The horror.
Marlon Brando, Apocalypse Now. Dark Air listeners, you know I love
the horror.
In fact, my life is a horror show. I shudder at the thought. Shudder is the streaming service with the best selection of horror, thriller, and supernatural movies. It can stream right to your favorite devices. This April, Shudder is celebrating halfway to Halloween, its biggest month of programming ever. And one of its biggest shows coming in April is the new season of Creepshow. So try Shudder free for 30 days. Catch all new season of Creepshow. Go to Shudder, Shudder.com, and use the promo code DARKAIR. One of my favorite movies on all of Shudder is Cooties, a delightful horror comedy in the vein of Shaun of the Dead with an interstellar cast. Oh, it's delightful. So, to try Shudder for free for 30 days, simply spin around 7 times and say the word Shudder each time, and a psychopath will burst through the doorway and kill you in cold blood. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, go to Shudder.com, Shudder.com, and use the promo code Dark Air.
Cheat. Come on. You don't have any spare doll or some aloo paratha.
Harry, you're not going to believe this. I just got off the phone with a guy from Reseda who says he has the recording.
Reseda? Fascinating.
He wants you to come meet him at his place and to come alone.
Alone, huh? Well, that sounds promising. And what's the fellow's name?
At E.T. and me.
Wait, isn't that like a tweeter handle thing? That's not his name.
No, that's what he said. See, I wrote it down right next to this part that says I shouldn't fog up the glass. At E.T. and me.
Okay, well, you better be right, Jeet, because I don't want to show up at his place looking for a recording of the voice of my dead wife and come off as some kind of lunatic.
If he thinks you're a lunatic, then I'm a pervert.
And so I headed into the abyss that is Reseda. Alone, save for the thoughts of my dear, sweet, dead, or maybe not so dead, wife. And the dozen or so drifters who were also on the bus. A motley crew, if ever there was one. I mean, a live chicken on a bus? What is this, that old episode of The Twilight Zone? After what seemed like 3 hours, but was in reality likely closer to 2.5, I arrived at the home of At E.T. and Me, looking for answers. At E.T. and Me?
Yeah. Get in. Come on. Did anyone follow you here?
No, I don't think so. Of course, if they're worth their salt, I wouldn't know, would I?
Fair enough. Best just to assume that you were followed, so I'm going to keep an unnatural smile on my face so they don't think we're discussing anything serious. First of all, Terry, I'm a huge fan, but listen, man, I need your help.
Wait, you need my help, but I need your help. Okay, that fake smile is really unnerving. Please drop it.
Fine. And maybe we can help each other?
Fine, whatever. Do you have the recording?
Actually, no. So I guess you just have to help me, right?
What do you mean, no? Well, are you telling me I took that infernal rolling halfway house here for nothing? I swear, if that bus hadn't had all the windows open, we'd all have ended up with scabies.
I have scabies.
Oh, God. I'm out of here, at E.T. and me.
Wait, you don't want to do that, Terry. Uh-huh. Look, I'm sorry I lied to you, but it was the only way to get you out here, alone. I need to show you something. Something that will change your life forever. Something that will be the biggest paradigm shift you have ever... Oh, gosh, I'm being so rude. My mom would kill me. Would you like something to eat?
Do you have any non-poisoned cookies?
I only have non-poisonous cookies.
What kind?
I got those circus animal-type cookies.
The frosted ones in the bag or the unfrosted ones in the little box with the string?
Unfrosted in the little box with the string. But if it's any consolation, the string broke.
It'll have to do. So, what do you want to show me?
Follow me. What I'm about to show you is one of the...
Cookies?
Oh, right behind you on the counter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know how you're always... You know how you're always looking for proof of alien existence?
Yeah.
See this... it's kind of distracting. I'm trying to do kind of a build-up here, and you're just chomping on cookies.
I'm starving. I didn't have any dinner. You live all the way out in Reseda.
Yeah. Okay. See this mini fridge?
I do. That's a real beauty. What'd you pay for it?
It was inherited. In this mini fridge, I have proof that aliens live among us, or did live among us, as these dudes right here are dead. Voila! Voila!
Oh, I heard you the first time. That, my friend, is a small pile of dead raccoons.
Well, yeah, I mean, at first glance.
At every glance, you moron. You dragged me out to Reseda for dead raccoons? Do you not realize what a busy man I am? Do you not understand the weight of the responsibility I bear? Do you know what it's like to be Terry Carnation? Do you have something I can wash down these dry-as-fuck cookies with?
Water.
It's water, that's it?
Sink water, yeah.
Ugh. You don't have Diet Dr. Pepper?
No. Man, I...
One of those Italian sodas, like from Trader Joe's?
No, I don't like foreign food. Listen...
You pathetic human being. You don't stock up on beverages?
I'm sorry about the pepper, about the coons, about lying. I was just like 35% sure they were aliens.
Okay, calm down. Hey. Okay. It's a mistake anyone could make. You thought you had aliens in your mini fridge. You know, you thought that you had aliens in your mini fridge. You know what? Maybe they are aliens.
You think?
Well, possibly. But I'm going to need to take the fridge with me to further investigate. Do some testing.
Yeah. The only thing is, Terry, is I'll be honest, that's my only cooling device in the house.
Hey, we need to get to the bottom of this, okay? And I'm going to need that fridge and its contents because I'm going to need all the alien residue on the interior of that fridge. Do you understand me?
Yeah, cool. And Terry, you're a great man. You know that? You take as many of those goddamn cookies with you as you want.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Okay, give me a hand with this fridge. Just down to the bus stop. Huh? Come on.
Okay. One, two. Get the door, Terry.
Got it. Just step out to the curb and take a left.
Okay. You coming?
Yeah, I'm coming.
And so I headed back home on the bus. None the lighter, being that the weight of the mystery of that phone call had now been increased exponentially with the weight of a mini-fridge. And as they say in the theater, and sex, the show must go on. So I took a couple of more buses and ended up back at my apartment to reconvene with Jeet.
Who is it?
It's Jeet. I just texted you from the car like you asked and walked up to your door, also like you asked.
Okay, get in. Probably being watched. Having said that, no need to put an unnatural smile on your face.
Wow, so this is your place.
Whose else would it be?
I can't believe I'm in Terry Carnation's apartment. It is so, so full of important garbage.
Here, let me make room for you to sit. I'll just move my newspaper and soda can collections. So, would you like a cold beverage?
Okay.
I'm talking refrigerator cold.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Oh, what a beautiful clock. I didn't know you liked ballerinas.
Hey, be careful with that. It's worth 3 times $950.
Wow, there's so many drawings of you.
Fan art. That one's made of hair and fingernails.
Ew.
Ah, how cold is that? Oh, and by the way, meet Carl.
Carl? Ah! Terry, why is there a raccoon in your apartment?
Came with the fridge. Bonus gift. Nursed him back to health. He's still alive.
I can see that. So, did that guy have the recording?
No, Cheat, he did not. What he did have was a mini-fridge full of dead raccoons and one live one that he insisted were aliens.
Oh.
You know, Cheat, you're supposed to look out for me so I don't end up in Reseda with a delusional maniac with stale cookies who could very well have used those deadly raccoon paws to pierce my flesh.
I'm sorry, Terry. I will be more vigilant.
Hmm? Who could be calling me?
Oh, maybe it's a lead. Oh, put it on speaker.
Okay. Hello, you're on speakerphone.
Hey, Terry Carnation, my old boss. How you doing, you son of a bitch?
Wes Popovitz?
That is exactly right, your old intern. Wait, I'm not your intern anymore. That was years ago. Now I'm the host of Truth Dump, the biggest show on the YouTubes, and you're live on my feed right now.
I'm on the air?
What's the matter, Terry? The stutter got your tongue. That's right. It's been a while since you've been on the air. Had to take a little trip to the Cuckoo Kachuni, didn't you, Terry?
Well, I'll have you know, Mr. Popovitz, that I have triumphantly returned to the airwaves this very week.
But Terry, I know about it very well. That's, in fact, why I'm calling you. I have got a recording of that mysterious Monday call that you've been begging for. And it is clear as a dog whistle.
You have a copy of the call?
Indeed, I do, Terry Bear. And all you have to do to get it is to come on my show and meet me, mano a mano. So, what's it gonna be, Carnation? Are you man enough to get truth dumped on?
So what did I do, dear listener? Did I go into the lion's den in an attempt to obtain clarity about that mystery call? Or did I refuse on principle to meet up with that slinger of slop? One thing's for sure. As I contemplated my next move, I did it while enjoying, from my brand new mini fridge, an ice-cold Diet Dr. Pepper, who did not sponsor this book in any way, shape, or form, but if they choose to send me free DDP, well, that's on them.
Dark Air with Terry Carnation was created by Rainn Wilson and Aaron Lee and is produced by Tom Harp and Chris Kelly. Starring Rainn Wilson as Terry Carnation, Karin Soni as Jeet, Al Madrigal as Al, Yvette Nicole Brown as Dr. Lizzie, Aaron Lee as Dr. Kesden, and Jennifer Lee as Veronica. Theme songs composed by Marcus Mosscat. Dark Air with Terry Carnation is brought to you by Imperial Mammoth, Audio Boom, and Kelly & Kelly. For a full list of credits, head to terrycarnation.com/credits.